Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Let's pray together. Lord, we commit this time now into your hands, asking that you would speak from your word. Lord, how I pray that your hand of blessing would be upon families. Lord, as your people, I pray that we would do all that we could to make sure that everyone knows you and loves you. And I pray for the opportunity to be foster parents, that we would truly consider that. Lord, I pray for strong, healthy marriages. Lord, I pray for strong kids, strong homes where there is love and grace and the support that everyone needs. Speak to us loud and clear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The captain of a ship looked into the dark night and he saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. Captain was mad. Sent another message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Well, the captain sent a third message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. He altered his course. The Bible is a lighthouse. The Bible's a light. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I am so thankful for this book. There's so much confusion out there in society. There's so many different ideas and philosophies and religions and concepts and advice that's available. But I'm just so glad we have light. We have truth. And by the way, we are to alter our lives according to the light found in God's word. Amen? There's much to say in God's word about the family. And there's much to say in the book of Proverbs, which we're studying on Sunday mornings, about the family. And if we understand these words properly and keep them, we can hope and be assured to have top-notch, healthy, happy families. Now, a few weeks back, we looked at the home in general. Then we talked about the roles of the husband. Then we talked about the role of the wife in the home. And last time together in Proverbs, we spoke about parenting. This morning, I want us to talk about the responsibilities of children in the home. Now, if you are a young person, say 20 and under, and you're living at home under the roof of your parents as a dependent, this is for you, buddy. Listen up. If you have children in the home as a parent, perhaps young children even, and they're not with us this morning, they're over at the children's ministry, this is still for you. Because you need to know that God has given your kids responsibilities. And you need to make sure that they carry those out. And I think this really is for all of us. It's important that all of us know what God's plan is for kids in the home so that we can come along and support the parents in that. So, what are the responsibilities of children in the home? What makes a child wise? Well, we're going to jump a few places, but we start here in chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. By the way, that refers to necklaces, not the ball and chain. Here, we see the number one responsibility of a child in a home according to Scripture: obedience. The number one responsibility of children in the home is to obey their parents. Toddlers, elementary, mid-high, tweens, high schoolers, teenagers, in some cases, young college students. Look, your responsibility is to obey your parents. Now, why is that so? Well, for two reasons. God said that that's the way it's supposed to be. Number one, God has ordained in His Word that parents are in charge. They are in authority. Kids are to be in submission to parents. And I think it's also true for another reason, a practical reason. Parents are older than kids. Parents have more experience in life. They know better how the world operates. They've been around the block. Now, teenager, I know that you're coming of age and your eyes are being opened to all kinds of things. And I know that many of you teenagers, you think you're smarter than mom and dad. I can understand that. I've been there. I've been a teenager. Guess what? Your parents can understand that as well. But here's the truth. You're not. You have much to learn, young Padawan. Teenager might say, well, my parents don't understand the pressure that I have at school, the peer pressure. Yeah, I grant you, I think kids are dealing with issues that are very, very serious, much more serious than in our generation. But your parents went to school? They know peer pressure. My parents don't understand money and how I just need to have designer clothes and an iPod and stuff. Look, your parents pay the mortgage. Don't even go there. My parents don't understand relationships and dating. Look, your parents dated each other. They got married. They had you. They understand relationships. Parents are in charge. Kids are to obey. It's interesting if you compare different television shows that have come out of different eras. How many of you guys remember Leave It to Beaver? Or Father Knows Best. Remember those? Such precious, innocent little shows. And in all those shows, the kids get in trouble, right? They've made a mess. But by the end of the episode, the kids have come to dad or to mom. And mom and dad have shared wisdom with them that's changed them. That's so beautiful. It's not like that anymore. In many television shows, it's totally different. I remember when I was growing up, it was eight is enough. Remember Dick Van Patten, the dad? Willie Ames, the rebellious teenager? Here's how Dick Van Patten, the father figure, looked like in every episode. Remember that? They just portrayed him as some confused man. And the kids would get in trouble in that school. Or in that story. And by the end of the episode, though, you could always count on it, dad would get enlightened. The kids would have shown dad, hey, here's what life's all about. The Duke of Wellington once said, "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children." It's sick. Parents are in charge. Kids, your responsibility is to obey your parents. And that's God-given. That's God-commanded. That's exactly what your primary responsibility is. Now, I want to break that down into three components. If you want to properly obey your parents, there's three things you got to do. Number one, you have to listen to them. You have to listen. What's it say there in verse 8? "My son, hear the instruction of your father." Very strong. Pay attention. Young person, when your parent speaks to you, stop texting. Turn off the TV. Turn off the video game. Give your mom and dad your full and undivided attention. And parents, listen. We need to learn to command the attention of our kids. Don't let them slight you. Don't let them brush you off. And even we need to learn that as parents of small kids, especially. Getting them to listen. You know, that is the biggest challenge in my house. I have the three, you know, kids, 10 and under, 11 and under. I forget how old they're all now. They're growing so quick, but they're still young. And sometimes it's just getting them to sit, put down the Lego now. And look at me. Dylan, man, we have to set that kid down, grab him by the cheeks, and get 5 inches from his face. Hello, Dylan! Earth to Dylan! And he still goes, "Huh? What? 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 What?" You've got to command their attention. You have got to listen to your mom and dad. By the way, the Bible teaches that our listening skills are to be the most important on every level, no matter how old you are. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." It's got to be good communication between mom and dad. And child, both listening very carefully to one another. So that's step one. You got to listen. You got to hear. Then after that, you got to do it. You got to do exactly what mom and dad have told you in the time period that they've asked you to do it. It says there again in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. And do not forsake the law of your mother." Do it. Carry it out. Look over at chapter 6. "My son," verse 20, "keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Children, keep your father's command. Keep the instruction of your mother. So, mom and dad says, "I have chores for you to do." Do them. Mom and dad says, "You're not doing so well in school. You need to do some more homework." Do it. Mom and dad says, "You know, that friend that you're hanging out with at school is becoming a bad influence on you. You need to cut that off." Do it. Obey your parents. Younger kids, parents of younger kids, we have got to train our kids in obedience. Did you know that? They actually need to be trained. And we need to train them very early on. We need, our goal should be first time obedience. You tell them to do something and they do it. One person said everything else in the modern home is now controlled by the flick of a switch. Why not the children? Oh, it could be that easy, right? But that should be our goal. Don't be the parent that says, now, Johnny, stop it. Oh, Johnny, I'm going to give you another chance. One more chance. Oh, I'm going to give you another chance. One more chance. Teach the kids obedience. And as a pastor, I want you to know, I stand with parents. I teach the kids and believe that kids should be obedient to their parents. I see parents as God's covering for your life. And they are an authority. And let me just warn you, don't ever try to pit me against your parents. There was a young teenager who wanted to go on a trip into the Middle East, a missions trip. And she comes from a wonderful Christian home. But the parents said, you know, I just don't think it's a good idea for you to go on a mission trip to the Middle East at this point. Well, guess what she did? She came to me. I want to go on this mission trip, Pastor Terry, and my parents won't let me. Can you go talk to my parents? No, I can't. They are your covering. You are to obey your parents. So you hear it, you do it, and then there's another very, very important component. Attitude. Obedience is doing it with the right attitude. Amen? So if you hear what mom and dad tell you to do and you do it, don't do it in a begrudging way. Don't sigh. Don't mope around. Don't eye roll. Now I'm telling you what, kids, just understand this. A bad attitude sends a parent through the roof. It really, really does. Do it with the right attitude. And listen, obedience doesn't involve just merely the outward activity. Obedience needs to be coupled with a heart as well. That's what God requires of us as His people, obedience both in deed and in heart. You know, there were a bunch of times, there's a bunch of verses in the Old Testament that speak of God being upset with His people because they were going to church all the time, they were doing all the motions, they were offering all the sacrifices, they were doing all the ritual, but the inside, the heart wasn't in it. And we need to teach that to our kids. You need to force that issue. Father had a strong-willed son, and on the way to the store, he kept telling this kid to sit down and buckle your seatbelt. And this kid just kept standing in the seat. Again, he said, sit down, buckle up. After a time or two more, the boy was convinced that he better sit down or disaster was about to come his way. So he slipped down onto the seat, snapped the seatbelt closed, and said, Daddy, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Is that obedience? Parents, it's very important that you force that issue with your kids. It's not enough for them just to hear you and do what they tell you. You got to talk to them about attitude. You got to talk to them about what's going on in that heart. You really got to make that happen and work hard on it. Listen, a parent's responsibility is not to his child's happiness. It's to his character. So, those three steps involved in obedience. Here, do, and do it with the right attitude. Now, turn over to chapter 15. Another responsibility of kids. Verse 31 says, "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." Now, those are very strong words used in that, this word rebuke. It means to really come on, get tough on someone. It means to really get down on somebody and hey, you are doing wrong and you need to be corrected. It even involves this idea of disciplining. As we spoke a couple weeks, one of the responsibilities for parents is to correct their kids. Sometimes that involves discipline. Sometimes that involves time out. Sometimes that involves some very tough things to be enforced. Kid, your responsibility is to receive discipline favorably. It's to receive it positively and to learn from it. A lot of kids say, "Oh, mom doesn't like me, dad doesn't like me," and cop a real, real bad attitude. Listen, the Bible says if you can't learn to take discipline and rebuke, you don't like yourself very much. The Bible says that the person who has learned to take rebuke and discipline and correction gains wisdom. And I got news for you. You're going to get rebuke and correction your whole life. From bosses and from teachers. Better learn how to deal with it and take the best that you can get out of it. So receive that discipline and understand that your parents have that responsibility to do so. They're not doing that just because they're mean. They're doing that to correct you. There's one more responsibility that I find in Scripture, and it's implied really throughout the book of Proverbs, and that's this. Kids, you are also to honor your parents. Honor. It says in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is given you." Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Now, this word honor in the original language in the Hebrew literally means heavy or weighty. It speaks of somebody who has weight in society. Somebody who has esteem in society. Somebody who's very significant in society. In fact, the word is used to speak about how we should honor the Lord, and it's used to speak about the glory of God. And the obvious idea here is, kids, you are to respect your parents. They are to occupy a high, respected place in your life. They are to be significant, and you are to treat them with significance. And I personally believe that this is a command to all of us here. We're all children, and every single one of us should honor our parents. When a kid is growing up and in the home, they're to obey mom and dad. They are to accept training and correction from mom and dad. And they are to honor mom and dad. But I think that every single one of us should continue to honor mom and dad. Give them weight. Give them respect. You might say, "Well, I didn't have very good parents. My parents weren't all that good to me." Give them respect just because they they got you to adulthood. Parents care for you. Think of all that they've done for you. I can't tell you how much more I appreciate my parents now that I've been a parent. Just what parents have done. One teenager said to another, "I'm really worried. Dad always slaves at his job, so I'll never want for anything, and so I can go to college. Mom spends every day washing and ironing and cleaning up after me, and she takes care of me when I'm sick. So what are you worried about?" he was asked. He said, "I'm afraid they might try to escape." It takes work, my friend, to raise a kid. You know what? Those people deserve your respect. The ones that bore you, the ones that raised you. You should give them honor. You say, "Well, my parents, I had a parent that actually did just that. They escaped. They left. Or I had a parent that abused me or something like that." Oh, there can be some very, very difficult, hurtful things in that topic. But one of the ways you can honor them is to forgive them. Let that bitterness go. And the only way that is possible for you to do that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we honor our parents? Well, I think we should speak well of them. We should talk to them in terms of respect and honor. I hate that phrase. "My old man. Oh, my old man said this." Not your old man, he's your dad. Speak respectfully of him. Speak respectfully to them. Give your attention to them. Include them in your life. Honor their requests. You know, even when we grow up and we're adults, I think it's really neat to at least call mom and dad and say, "Hey, here's what I'm going through. What's your take? What's your advice?" Do that. Honor their requests. Bless them. You know, it's interesting. My parents, whenever they call or whenever we call them, my dad will answer and his first thing he'll say is, "Lucy, Terry called, get on the phone." So both mom and dad have to be on the line. They have to both be on the line. And you know what they kind of expect? They kind of expect that of Kim and I too. So when they call and I answer, they kind of expect, "Well, aren't you going to get Kim on the line?" They call Kim, "Aren't you going to get Terry on the line?" And it's kind of one of these things that we laugh about and say, "Oh, man." Their mom and dad honor them. "All right, I'll get on the line." Respect mom and dad. How about this one? Care for your mom and dad in their old age. Take care of them. Do everything you can to take care of them. Honor your parents. Now, honor is something that really has to be earned, doesn't it? You can't just sit down with a kid and teach that kid and say, "Honor me." "Give me weight, man." It really is something that you have to earn. And so, mom and dad, I encourage you, live an honorable Christian life in front of your kids. Give them a reason to respect you. It has been said that a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. A Bible school teacher asked her class to draw a picture of God for her, and a little boy finished first and said, "I drew a picture of my daddy because I don't know what God looks like, but I know what my dad looks like." It's so important for us to be the kind of parents that make our children want to honor father and mother. Now, what are the payoff? What's the payoff? What are the rewards? What are the blessings for this? kid, if you obey your parents, the Bible promises you a long, safe life. The best possibility. The Bible promises you wisdom. The Bible promises that you will grow up in a healthy way and you're going to be a productive member of society and in the kingdom of God. Listen to your parents and give them your full attention and obey them and be that kid that you need to be. And I got something so wonderful to share for you. The more you obey mom and dad, the more you gain their trust, understand this, the more freedom you are going to get. And the more of a blessing you will be with all the freedom that you are given. Parents get a reward too. Turn over to chapter 23. I like this, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Be a blessing to your parents. They're a blessing from God to you. Let them rejoice over you. Let them be proud of you. Let your life be long and full and healthy. Kids, some of you, many of you here, I think you've been blessed with incredible parents who love you and want the best for you. And they're trying to train you up in the Lord. And parent, keep doing that. Kid, child, obey them. Cooperate with them. And please understand that the choice is yours to obey God on this matter or not. I love what one parent wrote basically to his kid. He said, I give you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you directions, but I cannot always be there to lead you. I can allow you a freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I can't always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you lovely inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to be a friend, but I cannot make you one. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I can't force you to show honor. I can grieve about your report card, but I cannot doubt your teachers. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can teach you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you the facts of life, but I can't build your reputation. I can tell you about drink, but I can't say no for you. I can warn you about drugs, but I can't prevent you from using them. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can teach you kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can love you as a daughter or son, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make him your Savior. I can teach you to obey, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. That choice has to be yours. Listen to your parents. Obey them. Accept that training. Honor them. Parents, keep on loving on those kids. Amen. Keep on loving on them. Keep on praying for them. Even if maybe they're grown up now and they're out of the house and there's some things that have happened in life that you regret, it's not too late. Keep praying. Children in the home, be wise. Be set apart from the rest of the crowd. Be a wise young man, a wise young woman. Let's commit this to the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I do pray for, the teenagers here in the sanctuary, the mid-hires. Lord, I pray specifically for them this morning. You know what's going on in each one of their lives. I pray that you would protect the lives here. And I pray, Lord, that you would give these young men and women the courage to stand with you and for you. The courage to do that which is right. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill these young hearts with a respect for mom and dad. Lord, I pray for the parents, that they would live a life before their kids that makes it easy for them to be honored. Lord, I thank you this morning that you've made it possible for all of us to become your children, children in your household, by which we can call you Heavenly Father. I would pray, Lord, for anyone here this morning who doesn't know for sure if they are a part of your family. Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know for sure, if you're a part of the family of God,